thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Includa, including in Tuca, trying to smash it into one word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Tuca puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
My hopes are the players that played in the playoffs for the first time are certainly going to understand what it takes to continue to get round by round and ultimately get into the finals and win again. You know, our regular season last year was pretty impressive. I don't want us to look at our point total and how many wins. I want us to look at are we playing the way we want to play? Are we playing the way the coach would like us to play? Are we competing in a way that gives us chances to win every game? And are we getting better as the season progresses as we get into the playoffs? I mean, our division's very difficult, and there's a lot of good young players in our division. We're certainly not going to surprise anybody ourselves, so we've got to be ready to play at the drop of the puck.
And they drop it tonight. Let's start with some hockey. Why don't we? Bruins open up the 2018-19 season tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. So, all you people who've been bitching about we don't do enough Bruins, we don't talk enough Bruins with the season on the verge of beginning, here you go. Here's your chance. We're going to start off with some hockey, and we'll do it throughout the course of the day because, again, Bruins open up tonight in Washington, D.C. against the Capitals. They get to watch the Capitals raise a banner and celebrate the championship. And, here we go. Let's do it. We got Maz in the Maz chair, Murray in our update studio, and joining us...
Good, you.
For the first couple of segments, Ty Anderson. He covers the Bruins and everything else here for 98.5 The Sports Hub. So he joins us in our Town Fair Tire Studios, and he's going to help us along with the conversation. What's up, Ty?
What's going on?
Okay, let's just get right to it. Let's ask the question that the Globe asked last week, and let's just not waste any time. Do the Bruins have the goaltending to win the Stanley Cup? Let's do it.
Yes, they do. They absolutely do.
So how long have you been covering the team?
Since 2010.
Since 2010. Okay. So you've always been a boo-hoo Tuca Crew guy.
No, absolutely not.
So that explains it. I was going to say you're a little new to the game to be one of these Tuca apologists, but you're not new to the game. You've covered the team for 8 years, so that falls right in line. There's only one group of people who believe in Tuca Rask, and that's the guys that cover the team, which amazing to me. But so there you go. That does fall in line.
Why don't you believe in the goaltender?
Oh, I don't know, because the games he's bagged out of at the end of the year, the last two out of the last 3 years, and the way he's looked in the playoff series.
What about when he played the Rigorin injury in 2017? To push them into the playoffs, and then they lose in the first round, but they go 10 defensemen deep, and he has a groin injury, he plays through that. Does he get credit for that, or because he got sick once in 2016, that's the end of the world?
Did he play through it? Didn't he bag out a couple of those games down the stretch in 17?
In 17, yeah, he banged the Islanders game he did.
Well, that was right, so you said he just played through it. He didn't play through it in 2017.
When he came back, he posted like a 940 through the regular season.
He sucked in that Ottawa series. Sucked.
They had Tommy Cross playing actual minutes in an NHL playoff series.
And that precludes you from stopping a puck.
Well, it didn't get any help.
So he needed help to stop the shots from the blue line in Game 2 in Ottawa.
Every goalie needs help.
To stop the shots from the blue line in Game 2 up 3-1 in the third period.
If you go back and watch that series.
Tommy Cross was to blame for those shots from just inside the blue line in Game 2 against Ottawa.
You go back, watch that series. They attacked the right side the entire series.
This is a late request. Is it Vin out there? Is it Ben at our NBC Sports Boston simulcast studios? Give me the still shot of Tuca's positioning on the overtime game winner of Ottawa in Game 6. Okay? There's a picture there. I know that's a late request, but if you can just find it for me, that would be great. It's in the system. We've run it a million times, and I want Ty to explain to me how Tommy Cross gets Tuca Rask back into the crease. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, but you think that you need... What's your whole thing? You just put a big guy in there and that's fine? That's the whole thing?
About a 6'7" Finn, put him on his knees, and yeah, just call it a day.
Pretty much.
No, that's absurd. This is an absurd conversation that we have every single season. I mean, I feel like the Joker and Batman right now. You're not going to get that. It's a pop culture reference, I know. But they're destined to do this forever.
This is what we're going to do. You're not going to come here and make pop culture references, are you?
No, that's really what I want to do.
Okay, good.
But no, but Tuca is, he is good enough with this team to win the Stanley Cup. Absolutely. Absolutely good enough.
The league of their defense is absolutely not good enough with this team.
Because this team's not good enough in front of them. That's the issue. If the team were good enough in front of them, I might agree with you. But I don't think they're deep enough all the way around.
Exactly.
So that's Tuca Rask's fault?
Put him on Tampa. Maybe he's good enough. Put him on this team. Nope, not good enough.
Who do you want? It is
if he's the third or fourth highest paid goalie in the league, because then you're asking him to elevate. Like, that's the problem. If Tuca were making $5 million, $4.5 million, no problem.
Well, you know who to blame for that, right? You blame Chiarelli for going for... Tuca takes a one-year deal. He bets on himself. He carries them to the Stanley Cup final in 2013.
Carried them.
He carried them. Are you kidding
them.
Me? The
carried
Pittsburgh
them.
Penguins, they scored, I think, two goals the entire series. He had a 985 in a four-game sweep of Evgeny Malkin, Sidney Crosby, Jerome Iginla, Chris Kunitz, when he was still a good player. Like, that was a great team that they swept.
Carried them.
He carried them.
They swept them.
I thought the Bruins choked the life out of the Penguins in that series.
And the Penguins had about 14,000 posts, which is no one's fault. You got some breaks in that thing.
Like, Tim Thomas didn't get a break when we all act like Tim Thomas is God when he was terrible in the first round against Montreal.
Explain it to me. Why is the only group of people who like Tuukka Rask are the guys that cover the team? Why everybody else, when they poll national writers or they poll national GMs, this athletic poll between that was GMs, coaches, and goalie coaches, Tuukka Rask ranked 14th. And so, you know, like I've seen a lot of these samples where sometimes he's in the bottom, you know, very bottom of the top 10, like 8 or 9 or 10. That's about as high as he gets. I ask you guys, and he's like elite. Why is that?
That's not true. I don't have him in the top 5. I say he's somewhere between 7, 8, or 9, somewhere around there. That's where he is.
7.
Yeah, I would go 7. You know that he won like 37 out of his last 45 games to end the regular season last year? And he was terrible in the Toronto series. I give you that. But also, I thought he was fine in the Tampa Bay series.
He was fine.
He was fine.
Yeah, so let's bring him the third highest paid goalie in the league. He was fine.
I mean, so that's the problem. Again, I come back to the money, and I don't know. I suppose you could blame Chiarelli, but I still look at it and say, he's a BB plus. That's what he is. He's a BB plus and probably closer to a B. He's a good goalie, Ty.
Okay, so there's the goalie discussion. We're opening up Bruins as they open up their season tonight in Washington. Is the goaltending good enough to win a cup? 617-779-0985. What's your biggest worry on the team, Ty, if it's not goaltending?
It's the third line center. I think it has to be that spot because you're talking about a division now that has Matthews, Tavares, and Kadri in Toronto. And then Tampa Bay, they have Stamkos. They have Tyler Johnson. They have Braden Point. They have several players who can play center on top of just being good all-around forwards. And right now you're going to that with Sean Corrali. That's your third line center? Really? That is not really all that inspiring if I'm a Bruins fan right now, because I look at it and I say, okay, well, what does he do? He's a fourth liner. He was really effective as a fourth liner. He flies like a bat out of hell. He hits everything that moves. But can that last 16 minutes a night? I don't think it can.
People don't realize, well, I mean, some do, but a real key to that whole season last year, that regular season, was that third line was Riley Nash. With Backes and Heinen, was it mostly, right?
Yeah, it was Heinen, yeah.
So, I mean, like that was a really big line for him. Now it's Corrali, Donato, and Backes, right?
Yes.
Yep, exactly
right. So that's, I mean, it's a fair point. It's a fair point. What else? What else do you worry about?
My second concern, John Moore is not that good. John Moore is not.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Thank you. Here we go.
They go out there and they add a defenseman. So this is how it goes. This is how their summer goes. They go, we want Kovalchuk. They don't get Kovalchuk. They go, we want Tavares. They don't get Tavares. They go, John Moore. So you go from Ilya Kovalchuk to Tavares to John Moore. That is not the order of operations that this should have gone for this team. I think that John Moore is a guy. He was a good defenseman on a team that didn't have any defensemen. You know, so you look at that. I mean,
New Jersey?
He was on New Jersey. He was logging 18 minutes a night. He was like their second most deployed PK defenseman, really. But again, that was a bad team. That was an average team that he was a good defenseman on. So now you want him to come in here and be a top four guy? No, that's not going to happen. He's not that guy. So I think you're in the same position you were a year ago, where Torey Krug or Matt Grizzlick is on your second pairing when it comes crunch time. And is that good enough? I really don't know. I mean, looking back on it, you know, I was pro Nash, but looking back on it, I go, wow, they really could have used McDonough. You know, if you could trade those same assets and get Ryan McDonough, this team would be in a much different spot than they are right now.
See, I worry about their overall depth. Overall. I mean, like you mentioned third line center. To me, it goes deeper than that. Last year, like, how many times did we talk about this last year? Backes had a good regular season. Nash had a good regular season. Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak, Chara played well in the regular season. Like, and for the most part, they generally stayed healthy. Like, now, what are the chances all of that happens again is my point.
I don't know. I don't think it will.
And so if these young guys don't elevate, like if you don't see a jump there, and let's face it, sometimes it takes a while. I just think they're due for a major regression here in the regular season.
Do you worry about playoffs? Maz?
Making it?
Yep.
No, I think they'll make the playoffs. And then so, you know, from that standpoint, we'll see what it looks like in the spring and when they get there. But during the regular season, I can't imagine there's any way they repeat what they did a year ago.
It sounds like Ty Anderson's sort of down on the team. Are you down on the team, Ty?
I didn't love their offseason. No.
But he loves the goaltending. It is like goofy world. But go on. Why
is that goofy world, though?
Just go ahead.
I just think that you look at it and you say, okay, where was the upgrade made? The one upgrade was backup goalie. I think Halak is better than Hudobin. But You got to remember, Hudobin gave you some great results last year.
Why do you think they had to go out and do that?
Because Hudobin was going to command way too much money for their liking.
No. They could have gone to T-Mac. Was it McIntyre? Whatever. They could have gone to Darth Vladar. They could have gone to some guy that makes $900,000. Why do they feel the need to bring in an expensive backup goaltender?
Because good teams need good backup goaltending.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Especially if the starter only goes 55 games.
Especially when you don't believe in your starter. Exactly right. Exactly. And he can't go more than 55 games without, I don't know, straining something, crapping his pants, bagging out of games at the end, wearing down and generally being unreliable.
All right. So you can have Carey Price for $10.5 million. You can have Sergei Bobrovsky for $10 million. Or you can have Tuukka Rask for $7 million. What are you taking?
I'm sorry. Jimmy, talk to me. You said Price for $10 million. Bobrovsky, what does he make?
He's going to be making $10 million in his next deal.
Yeah. I wouldn't pay my goaltender any of those kind of contracts. Because I think that, well, I don't know. Goaltending's gotten too up and down a little bit, or even Carey Price. Like, if you ask me who's the best goalie in the league, what goalie would you want more than any other? It'd be Carey Price. But do I want him at 10.5? And with all of his off-ice, like, have you heard of his off-ice stuff that's going on
up
there?
He's got some tails.
Holy crap. Like, there's some stuff going on up there, it sounds like. It's like, so the NHL salary cap, unlike the NFL and unlike the NBA in some respects, is a real cap. It's a hard cap. 10.5 is 10.5, and there's no way around it. There's no exceptions. There's no, you know, spinning off money or all the other stuff. So I'm not paying any goalie that money. Okay? So, but if I, given the choice between Price at 10 or Tuukka at 7, I'm taking Price at 10.
Yeah, but you understand the trickle-down effect that has in your roster,
I understand.
Right?
I understand all the implications. You ask me, and I give you an answer. So, my real answer is I'm not paying any. I think the goalie prices are too high overall. And so I think that price contract's dumb. But if I can only have one, Price at 10 or Tuukka at 7, Price at 10. You can win a cup with Price on this team. You can't win a cup with Tuukka.
What is a good goalie contract, in your opinion? Because you're anti-paying them, and you don't think Tuukka is market value. So what's a good contract?
Maybe 7 is now getting okay. I would say whatever. I think those elite number one defensemen are almost as valuable as goaltending now. And they're certainly more reliable year in, year out. So Doty, Carlson, Burns, you know, whatever those best defensemen make, I would slot the goalie right behind those guys.
Listen, I mean, if teams could do one model that I think works, it's the Nashville model, where you have four great defensemen. You got one guy making a little bit less than market value. You got one guy probably making a little bit too much. But they still have a goalie at $7 million a season in Pekka Rinne. You know, and I think he has just as many question marks.
He sure does. How's Pekka Rinne on the road, Murray, in the playoffs?
Puddle.
They can't play him on the road.
Especially if they're playing Pittsburgh.
So how's that? Like, I like Pekka Rinne fine. At $7 million, the same thing I feel about Tuukka. It's like you got to manage him. So Rask, you got to have a good backup. You got to, you know, monitor his games. And Rinne, when you get in the playoffs, you can't play him on the road. Is it the road or is it one building that he absolutely craps his pants? Did you just say it? I'm sorry.
It was Pittsburgh, he's never won there. It's a guaranteed loss.
So it's like, I'm scared of the money for any of those guys. Absolutely. It's sort of like, goalie is sort of like closer in baseball. Super important. Got to have it. But boy, they sort
of... come out of the woodwork.
They come out of the woodwork. They flash one year and then go in the toilet the next. You can't rely. There's a handful of guys that year in, year out are good. And the rest, it's sort of... You know, Melanson one year, or this guy that year, or that guy that year, and then the next year they're in the, you know what I mean? So that's what goaltending is.
You know, ultimately, I think you're fighting a hopeless cause here because they're not trading the guy. They're not going to do it because they had a chance to do it in 2015 when they sold off Hamilton, they sold off Lucic. They were getting calls on Tuukka. They didn't pull the trigger. You know, they had Martin Jones for a weekend.
They had calls on Tuukka?
They had calls on Tuukka. They opted not to move him, though. Like, that was the player that people were saying, okay, well, is he available now? And they had, wasn't to their liking. But when they chose Rask over Jones, which I still think was the right move because Jones had a small sample size and a great LA defensive team, you got a first round pick out of that. I don't love your first round pick that you the player.
Would you rather
picked.
Have Martin Jones or Tuukka Rask?
Tuukka Rask.
No.
Oh, Martin Jones.
I like Jones.
You guys, Martin Jones.
You realize that Martin Jones is playing behind Vlasic and Burns and Paul Martin when he was good, Brendan Dillon, Justin Braun, actually good defensemen.
Tuukka's playing behind Bergeron and Chara and still a good defensive.
They had a year with Kevin Miller as their number two defenseman.
Yeah, they're still a good defensive team. They've been a good defensive team throughout.
Hey, Ty, who won the cup last year?
It was the Washington Capitals.
13th in goaltender spending. How about who did they beat?
They beat the Vegas Golden Knights.
16th in goaltender spending. Who won the year before and the year before that?
Pittsburgh.
25th in goaltender spending.
But that's an entry-level deal with Matt Murray. That is
Find one.
This is our point.
So you develop a goaltender.
Thank you, Maz.
They have one. It's Daniel Vladar, but it's a few years away.
Excellent.
I'm here to help.
Excellent job. 6'9 Russian, just put him on his knees. Tell
we aim to please.
There. All right, so what are your expectations for the team, Ty?
They're still the second or third best team in their division. I think Tampa Bay is the class of the East, really. But looking beyond that,
can they contend for a cup?
Yes. Yes, I think. But I think the path is weird. We talked about this the other day, where I think your best bet is almost finishing in fourth place in your division and getting into the Metro bracket in the playoffs.
You hear that?
I like that.
Be the wild card. It's the fourth or fifth spot then, really, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So it's really a fifth spot. Then you're in the wild card and you play in that other division. I like it.
Me too.
Except you're sort of then flirting with...
disaster.
Yeah, being out of the playoffs. Being the last wild card is... now you're a couple points ahead of the ninth team and a bad week, and all of a sudden you're out of the playoffs. That's a little... if it ends up that way, great. I wouldn't manage it that way.
No. And I think the one thing here that kind of, it pees on that idea is that the Atlantic is so bad. The Atlantic stinks. I mean, the only other team besides what you had in there last year that contend is Florida. Buffalo's not ready. Detroit's a disaster.
You're going to beat up on all those teams.
You should honestly go 16-0 against, or 14-2 against those four teams. You really should.
Okay, starting Bruins, your thoughts, expectations for the teams? Do they have the goaltending to go all the way? Your concerns with the Bees. Ty Anderson in studio, your calls right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's DeBrus going wide, drops his shoulder, shoots. He scores! Jake DeBrus. Barrel over the line, into the right circle, dropped the shoulder, got a step, and then whistled a wrister by Freddie Anderson. 5-4 Bruins.
I was asking these guys, what was the highlight of last year? There's a lot of them. It was a great regular season. Well, it's just regular season, right? So I just picked that DeBrus goal. Go ahead, goal in the third period. You almost blew it to Toronto. And so I just wonder, if you have another good regular season, are y'all going to keep it in your pants? How many were picking them to win the cup without ever thinking about the teams ahead of them? Without ever thinking about how good Tampa was? It was ridiculous.
Now I got caught up in that.
No.
You feel like an idiot, Felger. They're contending for the cup.
Oh, are they? Really? Are they contending? They almost gagged against Toronto, who wasn't that good. They had some talent up front, but they suck in back, have no idea how to win. Young team, questionable goaltending, even more questionable than yours. And so you almost gagged a 3-1 series lead. You were lucky to win that series, and then you were totally, completely outclassed by Tampa, who didn't even go to the finals. So are we going to play that game again? They have a good regular season. Do you feel stupid? Do you feel stupid that they should have lost to Toronto and then got totally outclassed by Tampa? We're going to play that game again? Ty? I don't even know if you felt that way, but I'm going to blame you. To the calls, Tyler in West Springfield. We got Ty Anderson in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Go ahead, Tyler.
All right, real quick point, a question for Ty, too, to finish it. I think a play on surprise, the league this season is going to be Ryan Donato. I think he's performed at every single stage he's been on and showed some good things last year in a short stint out of the team. And quick question for Ty, I don't think it's going to be this season, but when can we start taking Charlie McAvoy seriously for a Norris contender? Thanks, guys.
Okay, first of all, Donato is playing on the third line with Corrali and Backes. So Donato, who's like a sniper, a pure offensive scorer, is playing with two grinders on the third, and Danton Heinen is going to play with David Krejci, the offensive center. How do you feel about that lineup?
I don't like it. I think it's a complete waste to have Ryan Donato playing with two bangers. This is a skill guy. He's a shoot-first guy. You want someone that's going to get him the puck. I don't think either one of these guys is going to get him the puck. So I don't like it. I think there are better options, namely putting him with David Krejci and Jake DeBrusk. He spent the entire summer practicing the right wing. It's his off wing, yes, but he committed to actually doing it. I thought in the preseason, DeBrusk and Donato had some good chemistry. They didn't play with Krejci, but they really they're forcing this Heinen fit to the right there.
They love Heinen.
I mean, listen, he's a smart player. He plays the way you want him to play, but I like him on that third line because I think he's a glue guy on that third line versus being a top sixer on this team. If you're going to put Heinen with anybody, put him with Bergeron and Marchand and move Pastrnak down with Krejci. Like, that is how you get balance right there and keep your smart line, if you will, intact.
McAvoy.
I'd put Donato up there. That's what I do. Put Donato up there. Put Pastrnak in the second line, Heinen on the third. Why do they love Heinen so much?
I don't know. They do, though.
They love Heinen. God, that's all they talk about, Heinen. All the time, it drives me crazy.
They talk about DeBrusk more than Heinen.
Oh, God. But seriously, what's his name? Cassidy was yapping about Heinen a couple of weeks ago, about what Heinen gave him in his first. I'm so sick of Danton Heinen.
He did make sure to point out that Heinen had more points than Rick Nash last year. So, quickly, McAvoy, expectations. This is the year where he takes that next step, right? I mean, it always sort of comes in year two or three. You look at Doughty's second year, 32-point uptick from his rookie year to his sophomore year. P.K. Subban won the Norris in his fourth season. So you want to see something that kind of makes you believe that this guy is the heir apparent. I think he is. I've seen enough to know that this guy has skills like crazy. But I do want to see consistency. I want to see health. That's a big thing for him. He wasn't the same after that knee injury. He got caught up in the mental aspect of that Tampa series. He was whining, after every time he got bumped, because he kind of felt that the Bruins were getting jobbed, you know, by the referees. It hit the point where it was a mental thing for him, where he was getting bumped and he's throwing his head back. He's barking at refs. It's like, dude, you got to play through this crap. It's going to happen. So I want to see it all kind of come together here.
He's got to shoot the puck more, too.
Alex in Plymouth, go quickly.
Hey, so you guys were trash talking Rask earlier, but I just don't get how, considering if you reflect back on the past 5 years going into the playoffs, you haven't had a top two defensive pair since 13. I just don't get how, if you were to replace Rask with any other goalie in the league while keeping the defensive core the same.
So if it's all about the D core, why are you paying a goalie the top three in the league? I keep hearing this. So if it's about the D core, why do you need an elite goalie?
You need a goalie.
The whole point to pay an elite goalie is to cover up for your D core. And, oh, by the way, even though the names on D, I agree, you know, have been lacking, they've been lacking offensive defensemen. They still have plenty of guys that protect the cage, and they've been a good defensive team throughout. They have. In the last 10 years, they have never been a bad defensive team. So I think people are nuts about that. Yeah, I don't love McQuaid. I don't love Miller. Chara is overrated, but they're all defensive guys. They all protect the house. And I'm sorry, this team is never a bad defensive team, ever. So Rask has always benefited from a good defensive structure on this team throughout. Sorry.
Listen, you had... I know when I saw 2 or 3 years ago, when you had Kevin Miller crab walking on the ice on the PK because he didn't know how to stand his ground and block the high danger chances against. So I don't agree with that. I just don't agree with that. And McQuaid, the guy was made out of brittle. He was so brittle by the end of it, he would fall apart. Couldn't get a full season out of him. I don't agree with that. When they got Brandon Carlo, a guy who was really good, an actual shutdown defenseman, they made the playoffs, and he was a good player. And they've missed him in back-to-back playoff runs
now. So if it's all about
now.
These D guys, I don't agree with you on this, but if it's all about the D guys, why are you paying the goalie the third highest salary in the league? So that's counterintuitive. You pay the guy to make up for the defense. If it's just about the defense, let's save on the goalie and put that money somewhere else. We'll get back to your calls with Ty Anderson here in studio after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, we're talking Bruins to open up with Ty Anderson of 98.5thesportshub.com as the Bees open up tonight in Washington. Catch the game here on 95 The Sports Hub. Frank the Tank, go ahead.
All right, guys. You guys can argue until the cows come home about the goaltending and the defense. I feel that the biggest problem that's going to face this team this year is where are they going to get some scoring? Are the kids going to develop enough this year to take that next step? To me, that's where the biggest problem is with this team. They're not, I don't know what the exact word I'm looking for is. They're not ready yet to take that next step, in my opinion. I see the team regressing a little bit this year. No one saw that coming last year from any of those kids. This year, everyone's going to see them coming. This could be the year where Don Sweeney really needs to change from a player to a king.
Okay, so let me just stop you right there, Frank. Secondary scoring, huge issue in the playoffs, Ty. You know, we talked about the line combinations there. They have a chance to balance it out with putting Pastrnak down with Krejci, and they don't want to do it. Why? Or they're not doing it. Why?
I wish I knew. I really do, because it's one of the most confounding issues with this team is that you saw this last year. You're a one-line team in the playoffs. Teams knew that. When you go against a real defense, which is what Tampa Bay had and Toronto didn't, they were able to shut it down because they knew exactly what was coming and when it was coming. And they just didn't worry about, Riley Nash burning them. They didn't worry about Rick Nash burning them. They knew they weren't going to do anything after that first game. So I think that's a big issue for this team. I wrote all summer, I really would have split up that first line. I would have put Pastrnak with Krejci because if you saw them in the Worlds, and I know it's the Worlds and it's not the best quality, they got chemistry still. They haven't been together for like 2 years now and they still know how to play with one another. I mean, that goes a long way in my opinion. And talking about balancing, I mean, that's where you got to be. So if you're not going to put Pastrnak there, you got to put Ryan Donato there. You're not doing that either. So I don't know what they're doing. I look at these lines right now and I say, okay, you're a one-line team still.
Oh, yeah, no, they got Hein in there. All the problems are solved. Charlie in the car. Go ahead, Charlie.
Hey, guys. So one player that the Bruins also have a lot invested in financially that I'm kind of worried about is Backes. Like, all summer, I'm wondering how he's going to fit in this upcoming season, just given his last 2 years. And, you know, then when I see that he's paired up with Donato, I'm like, okay, maybe they're trying to, like, you know, get a veteran like him in with a young kid, get him, you know, help him out a little bit. But then, like Ty said earlier, it's not exactly the type of guy that's going to, you know, give Donato the puck when he needs to and have that explosive offensive capability that, you know, Donato being as young as he does have. So
Backes scares the crap out of me. I'm just going to cut you off. Backes scares the crap out of me. I feel like he's a dinosaur. You know, the game is changed. There's just not much room for the slow bruiser like there once was, or certainly not in the East, maybe in the West, you know, some of those, some bigger, more physical teams. But here, it's sort of like he gets lost in the wash and he knows it. He said he lost 10 pounds to get quicker. Guy his age loses 10 pounds to get quicker. I'm like, oh, well, that ain't going to work. So now you're neither. So now you're still not going to be fast enough. And now you've lost some of your size. So what are you doing? He's got the concussion issue. You know, he's one hit short of being knocked out for a while. That's a scary one to me, David Backes.
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of a year where you got to figure out what you have with him and you got to figure out how to utilize it properly. I think that's been an issue for them. You know, they put him with Krejci for half a season, pretty much wasted half a season because that didn't work at all. That was awful. That was one of the worst lines I've ever seen in my life. And they tried to force it on us for an entire year. And then you go, and then you look beyond that. Okay, he's a third liner last year. He's a good third liner. The playoffs come, he's on the fourth line. And then he's knocked out of the game. He's fallen down the depth chart in back-to-back seasons. Next time he falls, it's going to be the press box. It's a healthy scratch.
$6 million per. Matt in Boston. Go ahead, Matt.
All right, I just wanted to kind of end this Tuukka talk and just say my thing about what I think the team needs. I think talking about Tuukka and his contract is just, it's asinine. The guy signed the contract 5 years ago. You're talking about signing guys right now that are getting paid in the middle of the pack. You can't go and sign one of those guys. You signed Tuukka, it was a bad deal back when it happened. That doesn't mean that he's not good enough to play for this team and good enough to win a cup. Because you still need that guy. If this team had balls and Don Sweeney would make some sort of move, you go out and you get a Carlson, or you go out and you get a McDonough. I'm sick of them always losing out on these big-name guys that they can go get. They have all these prospects, all these young kids. Now they have some cap space. Groom Grizzlick to become Krug. Get rid of Krug once he comes back and showcases himself a little bit. Get some more cap space. Trade these guys away and get actual players that can go on your cup team right now.
Okay, let me just stop you. Maz approach of the team. Do you know what it is exactly? And do you want them doing what he just said? Which is, you allegedly have these young assets. Package them. Take it more for the now. Move some youth to get some veteran in here, a star, and win now.
Well, so look, we touched on this yesterday. I hate the middling thing, and I feel that that's where they are now. Bergeron's creeping up there.
33.
Like he started again at 18. That's 15 years in the league. And, you know, when you go through the stats and you look, you forget how top-heavy they were. All three guys on the first line scored 30 goals. No one else got to 20. The next highest guy was 17. So I look at the big picture and I say with the Bruins, I'm okay with some of the young guys. I don't want them to get rid of McAvoy. I don't want them to get rid of DeBrusk. But of Heinen, Donato, make a move there. Go get yourself another veteran. And now you're sort of accomplishing both things at the same time. Or maybe giving yourself a better chance in the immediate, you know, in the present, without sacrificing too much of your future. But I feel like now they're too far the other way. They get too many young guys. There's not enough there to win.
Well, I mean, I'm okay with a slow, young build. The only fly in the ointment is Bergeron's prime. And that's the only thing I would be mindful of. You know, how much longer is he going to be this guy? A year or two? I mean, at past 35, is he going to be this kind of two-way force? And, you know, Stanley Cup caliber sort of leading figure? I don't think so. So if you want to take advantage of that, you may have to speed it up a little bit. Otherwise, take your time with the kids.
I think you had last year and this year. I really do. I think you had last year and this year.
For Bergeron?
Where you can go all in, where you have Bergeron in his prime still. You have I know you hate him, but you have Tuca still effective enough. And you have, you know, you have Marchand, you have Krejci.
And you still have Chara, who's functional as a defensive defenseman.
Exactly. And you don't have to pay McAvoy and Donato and DeBrusque and Hine and all these guys. You don't have to pay them yet.
Ty, but
this is when you win.
When Bergeron's gone, where are the centers?
So this is the thing. You have Forsbacka Carlson, who has done nothing. Absolutely nothing. I didn't even notice him in training camp. This guy was the favorite for the third line job, and he lost it. He didn't even fight for it, in my opinion. And you have Frederick. He's there, but he's not ready. Stanika's the guy. Again, not ready, though. They have so many kids.
He went back to juniors, right?
He did. Well, he couldn't go to the AHL. He's too young. But that's one of those things where, you know, they have so many kids, and they're a win-now team. Despite what they think and what they say, they are a win-now team. Their best players are all over 30. With the exception of McAvoy and Pastrnak, all their best players are 30 or older. I mean, that this is the time to strike, because you don't want to be, you know, it's the whole Belichick thing. You don't want to be a year too late, right? You don't want to buy another fossil when these guys are old and you have to manage them even more so than you do right now. So I think last year and this year, are there years to buy and go all in the Stanley Cup?
See, this is why they went after Tavares, because they know they don't have any centers. They know. That's why they went after him. I mean, otherwise, since when did the Bruins throw $80 million at a guy, or $75 million, whatever the number was? They don't.
All right, Ty, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Anytime, guys.
So Ty Anderson, again, great Bruins coverage here on 98.5thesportshub.com. If you're watching on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast, you'll see he's wearing a Cubs hat. Are you a Cubs fan?
I am.
Suck it. Suck it.
Yeah, enjoy David Duke, the closer.
Yeah, no. But no, we have some racial sensitivity issues in the Brewers bullpen, but we're still playing. We're still playing. I'm going to hang a big L banner in front of my... Ha, 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 ha. Oh, have I grown to hate you guys. Suck it, Joe. Chewy, you guys have won once in a century and a half, and all of a sudden, like, all of a sudden, you've got all the answers. You choking pigs. Biggest loser franchise in the history of sport. I don't think that's an overstatement. So, you're once again in your comfort zone. Go take the gag and lose. Goodbye, L. Big L banner hanging outside the
Felger household. Cubs, no.
Oh,
no Cubs, no.
This is why I was invited
Suck
here.
Suck it.
You don't even care about the Bruins. You just want to do this.
I didn't know you were a Cubs fan.
I'm hip to this game. No,
I told people Chris Bryant was overrated.
The Cubs fan thing was just a bonus. For me. A nice little bonus. Thanks for coming in, Ty. Continue with your Bruins thoughts all day long. They open up tonight again in Washington, so we'll take your bees calls all day long. Do you want to get to some other stuff, including Murray's got a little something for Tom Brady's wife. Oh, someone's got another book that's out. And so Murray has some thoughts on this. We'll get to it next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Felger Maz, long commercial-free segment. Opened up Bruins. You can call us all day long on the bees. Do you want to get some other things, including a new book out by Giselle Bundchen, in which Jim Murray had some thoughts on?
Well, yeah. So I heard Tutcher and Rich playing audio of Giselle's appearance on Good Morning America yesterday to promote this new book, Lessons, My Path to a Meaningful Life. Again, that's the name of it, Lessons, My Path to a Meaningful Life. And I really couldn't help thinking, the woman truly sounds exhausting. And sure, you want to label me a bad guy, misogynist, whatever. I can take it. But I've been on this for a while. I hear her, and I just can't help thinking. Even hearing this audio yesterday, it's like, oh, this poor guy. There's a reason he continues. And I don't know if you've seen this. He continues to show up 7 hours early for these games so far this season. I have people tweeting it to me the last few Sundays. Oh, look who's early to work. Is anyone else there? Nope. Gee, I wonder why. Because he's got to get away. He's got to get away because it's his only time that he gets any peace and quiet. So the thing I found interesting about this, and there was like 3 minutes of this, I just want to play like one little clip because she's completely disingenuous. She's totally trying to sell a book. We get that. But she's seemingly done a 180 on the talk of retirement for Brady. She insists that Tom can retire whenever he wants, and she's accepted what will be, will be. So listen to this, Croc. This is Robin Roberts first from Good Morning America.
Tom has talked about his retirement. He kind of said, I'll play five more years. Mm-hmm. And you've had said some other things. But in the book, you kind of said, what will be, will be.
Yeah, because, you know,
he's happy.
Yes, because when you love someone, you want them to be happy. I never seen someone love something as much as he loves football, and it makes me happy if I said anything.
Liar. That was the line. I've never seen anything that he loves as much as he loves football. That makes me happy.
No, it doesn't.
You're trying to sell a book. That's a crock. And we know you hate it because Tom Brady's on the record saying you hate that he plays football and you want him to retire. He admitted in February 2017 in an interview, quote, if it was up to my wife, she'd have me retire today.
Good job, Murray.
She dropped the thing about him getting concussions.
Plural.
Then remember, there's this from the MMQB, Jay Feely spilling the beans. Last spring, Brady and his family vacationed with retired kicker Jay Feely, a close friend from their college days in Michigan. This being Brady, Feely prefers not to disclose the locale, but he does share that Brady's wife, the supermodel Gisele Bündchen, spent time on that night on that trip, quote, trying to get me to convince Tom to stop playing. And Feely adds,
she was dead serious.
Feely said he looked at his friend and told him, as long as you can.
Brady smiled back and winked.
And remember, the whispering from Brady in this final episode of Tom vs. Time, when he talks about, I want to play five more years.
That was the best, too.
What, Tom?
I want to play five more years. She's in the next room. I can't talk about it anymore.
So here she goes on, babbling about this, how she's so happy that Tom loves football. His stupid game.
The best is because you have a concern. I mean, if someone you love, if my kid falls, or if someone says something, if they come back home and say someone said something to me at school, I mean, I turn into a ferocious lion. Right. I'm like, what? Yeah. You know, I mean, I think it's just Mama Bear comes out in me. You know, no one is going to hurt someone I love. You know, you just feel very protective of them. So obviously, if someone hurts my children, my husband, anyone I love, I get like a lioness. You know, I want to like, I get more.
Yeah. Right. So she's cool with it. But he has to go home after getting his body beat in on a day that, you know, the offensive line might be a sieve and he's dealing with a pass rush, takes a couple of sacks. He has to go home and then hear that. I'm like a lioness. I can't believe you let this stay. Why won't you walk away? I thought you said you loved it, that you loved that I loved it. Oh, so that's just the portion I found so disingenuous, and so much more of it was inane babbling. She apparently writes about working out, meditating daily. Fine. That's what they both do. As well as retiring to a space across the lawn she calls the sanctuary, featuring crystals and high ceilings. She's also a fan of morning coconut pulling. Do you guys know what coconut pulling is?
No. I mean, that's not what I call it.
No, what is coconut pulling?
This apparently is using coconut oil to clean your teeth for up to 15 minutes.
So I did read this morning, so she swishes coconut oil in her mouth.
Yeah. Clean your teeth with up to 15 minutes with coconut oil. Use toothpaste. It doesn't have fluoride in it, so it's going to take over your mind. There's no mind control aspect. Just use toothpaste. I have a nutty friend that now does this too, by the way, and he makes his own toothpaste because he thinks the government's coming. Just use AIM. And she also massages the children's feet every night with oils. Like, that seems normal. But it's just more than anything else. That one line, I have to play it again because it's such a crock. And it's just her trying to sell a book. And fine, I get it. You know, I'm pro-capitalism, so get that money while you can. But to say that you love that Tom loves football, lie.
Tom has talked about his retirement. He kind of said, I'll play five more years. Mm-hmm. And you've had said some other things. But in the book, you kind of said, what will be.
Yeah, just, because, you know,
when he's happy.
Yes, because when you love someone, you want them to be happy. Yeah. I never seen someone love something as much as he loves football, and it makes me happy.
It doesn't. Again, you bring it up. How she really wants to say it. I've never seen anyone love anything like he loves football. Not me, not the kids. He loves football. Because again, Brady, in the interview to GQ, if it was up to my wife, she'd have me retire today. So that's why he continues, and thank you for those that continue to tweet these to me, because I get such a kick out of it on Sunday mornings. Oh, look who's here 8 hours early, sitting on a bench alone. You practicing yet? No, it's actually, shh, everyone leave me alone.
I need some silence.
Finally get to breathe. First time this week. Whew. Don't have to think about the oils on the poor kid's feet, or the coconut pulling, or any of that other stuff, the crystals. Or any of that other nonsense. Just here in the field.
Smell the fake grass here, Gillette. Oh, it's so good to be here. I'm away from... I feel for him there. He is off the field again. Unrelatable weirdo now, but in the case of his love life and that wife of his. Oh, Jesus. I don't know if I'd wish that on anybody.
Very good, Murray.
So that was brilliant.
There you go. There it is. Your thoughts on that. Your thoughts on the Bruins. And let's get to baseball last night and the baseball coming this week for the Red Sox.
No, let's.
And the baseball coming up tonight. All of it with your calls again. Right after Murray's update here, 90 seconds, no commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.